Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we are talking about the Beast of 20,000 Shit, I already messed it up.
You got it.
Because my notes, I just put Beast 20,000 Fathoms. But I know there's words in the middle. Hold on. I'm going to redo this. Okay. All right. Because the 20 million miles to Earth mixes me up. Okay. Let's do this again. The Beast from 20,000 Fathoms. Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge. And
today we're talking about the Beast from 20,000 Fathoms.
1953.
Yeah.
So this is pre-Godzilla.
Yeah.
I read a thing where this movie got inspired by, they did a re-release of the 1930s King Kong in 1952.
Okay.
And so then they're going to make this movie. And then they had the script, the director of the script of this movie. And he's friends with Ray Bradbury. He visited him and says, hey, take a look at this script. Is there anything you can do to help the script, basically? And he read it and was like, oh, this kind of reminds me of this story I wrote called The Beast of 20,000 Pounds. I forgot what the original movie was called. And it's like, it reminds me of a movie I wrote called Beast of 20,000 Pounds where a beast – Where a dinosaur attacks a lighthouse. And I was like, oh, okay, that kind of explains it. Because, like, there is this, when you see that scene with the lighthouse, mm-hmm. you do get the feeling that this movie was made so they could do that scene.
That scene is incredible.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. The attention to detail on that scene, like, oh my gosh.
There is amazing. This is the detail in that puppeting is amazing.
Right. So I wasn't terribly excited to watch the movie just because I knew that the monster just looked like a dinosaur sort of.
Yeah.
But the puppet is so good looking.
It's so good. It blinks. The way he taking the time to get it to blink and stuff. Amazing.
The animation on it, the design of it, and the construction of it, it's a really good, slick looking monster. Like, this is from the director of Giant Behemoth, and also Ray Harryhausen did that. This blows that out of the water. This monster, like, although it looks kind of just like an iguana, it just looks so good. Like, the different textures on the neck. And then on the shoulders, like all the scales and stuff, everything looked amazing. And the animation was really good. Anytime the creature was on screen, I was like fixated. There's not a lot. It's definitely backloaded.
Movie. Yeah. Okay. So while visiting his friend, Ray Harryhausen on set, Ray Bradbury was given a copy of the script, which was going under the working title Monster from the Sea, and was asked if he could possibly do some rewriting on it. And after reading the script, he remarked about a scene in the story which featured the monster destroying a lighthouse that seemed very similar to a short story he had published in the Saturday Evening Post several years earlier called Beast from 20,000 Fathoms. And then he got a telegram offering to buy the film rights to that story for $2,000 the next day.
Probably to avoid any sort of legal stuff, I'm assuming. So, okay, we open up in the North Pole. And I kind of liked all this stuff. I thought it was really fun.
So, I recognize James Best as one of those guys at the very beginning.
I don't know James Best.
He was Roscoe P. Coltrane.
Oh, shit.
And the Dukes of Hazzard. He was in that movie, The Killer Shrews.
I haven't seen that.
And, I saw him recently in, like, an episode of Andy Griffith's show. But, he's, like, he was just, clearly, he was just, like, just like a gig actor here and there, until he finally got Roscoe P. Coltrane, or you know, everything else was just kind of guest stars. As far as I know, mm-hmm. he might have had something before that, but I don't really know his career that much. But I was like, that looks like, and it wasn't listed in IMDb, and then I found it later looking up like at the trivia or something about it.
10 minutes in, we get a dummy, and it made me so happy. The dude that falls into the crevasse, into the crevasse. He's like, it just looked like they just tossed a dummy over the side, and it just kind of hits with a thud. Yeah. It was like the perfect, perfect height for the most comedic effect. Like, it just was hilarious. Like, just when you realize it's a dummy, it just hits and splat. It was great. This reminded me a lot of, what was the other Eugene Laurie movie we watched? No, it reminded me of,
The Behemoth?
A little bit. A little bit. There was definitely stuff, like, I guess it's more towards the end. The panic in the street stuff.
Yeah.
Definitely felt like Gorgo and Giant Behemoth. Yeah. Like, Eugene Laurie is the dude to go to for that stuff.
I also liked how this was like maybe it was shot in a colder time. Like, everyone had overcoats on.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of looked cool seeing all these like overcoats running through the city.
Yeah.
They had the great collapsing building with the bricks falling on people.
Right. That's like rad. A Eugene Laurie staple.
That's a classic.
The boat attack at the beginning, I really enjoyed the boat attack.
Yeah.
Because it's the stop motion beast.
Yeah.
Taking out a stop motion boat. But then they have these sort of like animated splashes over it, which I think kind of masked the fact that the puppet wasn't in water. It kind of was a cool looking effect. I thought all of the destruction and the scale of the monster was really fun. Like, I feel like to have it the size of a lighthouse and not make it like we've seen Godzilla where he can like just kick over a lighthouse because he's so big. Right. Like, right. The fact that he has to like put his arms around things to tackle him.
Yeah, like he's wrapped around. Yeah, totally.
But like, there's a lot of like fun effects like in the lighthouse. We see the two lighthouse keepers, and what they do, a point of view shot of the beast outside, and you could see the warping from the lighthouse glass. Like, a lot of fun stuff like that. A lot of cool like lighting and sort of fun visual effects.
Kind of like what they had to do when they had to do the beast swimming underwater too.
Yeah, you can tell that
they had to kind of fake that and do kind of like a ripply kind of like visual thing to make it look like, oh, I'm underwater.
But you can tell that they were like putting him in the bottom of the frame so that you couldn't see the rods holding it up for swimming. But the lighthouse sequence was hands down my favorite sequence in the movie. Just the way it was cut, where like as soon as he wraps his arms around it and starts putting cracks into the side of the lighthouse, it cuts to the inside of the guys running down the spiral staircase.
Right.
And then when he finally tears the lighthouse in half, I like that you could see the spiral staircase coming out from the inside.
Yeah.
Like, the level of detail is insane.
Yeah, he's so good at that.
And then having the beast backlit with the silhouette of the lighthouse, it looked amazing. Like, it all looks so good. This might be some of my favorite looking stuff from Harryhausen. I like the monster design for 20 Million Miles to Earth more. But I think just like the lighting and the interaction and the... there's a couple of shifting plates with the where they integrate the live action with the stop motion. But for the most part, like, the lighting and the integration of the stop motion and live action worked really well.
And this is the first one of these that after they ended up doing a bunch of these movies.
Mm-hmm.
But this was kind of like the first one that that was done. And it was pretty well done, well executed.
Yeah, I think, it just, this is one I definitely would want to see on the big screen. I feel like the human story isn't terribly exciting.
No.
I found it really boring, and they really only have, like, the music pop in when the monster's around.
So it
feels like you're just sitting around waiting for the monster to show up.
Yeah, the human story definitely was lacking some stuff. There was, like, some guy sees something, no one believes him, everyone thinks it's a crazy thing. We've heard that before. We know that's a bit that happens all the time. Mm-hmm. And then finally they believe him. Okay, we get that. But it was just like, it was just a lot of that for a long time.
I feel like there wasn't a lot of personality with the characters. There's two people that stand out.
Not a lot of charisma.
Yeah, the doctor I enjoyed, who kind of looked like Ray Bradbury.
Yeah.
The one that went down in the diving bell. I liked him a lot. And then at the beginning, there was like a psychiatrist talking to the guy about saying that, like, that guy had some sort of weird presence. Like, he felt like a modern actor, like a Steve Buscemi type or something. And I enjoyed his performance too. But yeah, for the most part, everyone else were kind of just like.
What I liked about the guy who was the professor or the scientist, mm-hmm. who studies dinosaurs, the guy, it was like, remember the other guy who was obsessed with dinosaurs in that other movie, who was in the helicopter and he died, or you remember?
Was that Black Scorpion?
No, it was because it was a dinosaur he wanted to go see.
Yeah, but wasn't there like a bunch of dinosaurs in Black Scorpion?
Was there?
Yeah, I remember, man. Black Scorpion.
All these movies are running together now.
Yeah.
No. Not when they got lowered into the pit. He was that eccentric professor, and he didn't believe they existed. And then they was like, "Oh, you know, it's cloudy." But he got on the plane and he was looking at it, and then he gets killed. But he kind of gets to see it. It's kind of similar to this guy.
Yeah.
Ah, man.
He's enjoyable.
Anyways, so the guy who played the professor in this. Okay. These are things that came up in the trivia that was kind of funny and interesting. He has a scene where he comes in and he's like talking about how, like, he talks about leprechauns.
Uh-huh.
Apparently that guy played a leprechaun in a movie.
I could see that.
Okay, so his name is Cecil Kellaway, Professor Elson. And he's reading an article about a 1797 professor who was fired for claiming he had seen leprechauns remove a tree. He continues, "Today it's monsters instead of leprechauns." And then Tom Nesbitt enters. He's the guy who's, you know, he's like the lead guy. And he's like, "How certain are you that there were no leprechauns?" And Kellaway played a leprechaun in a movie called Luck of the Irish in 1948, which isn't that long ago. So it is possible
a couple years.
That people who saw the movie knew this guy played a leprechaun, and it was like an inside joke for those people.
That's funny.
There's weird things in the trivia that I was like, what? There's another part of the trivia that talks about, like, in the scene where they're at the ballet.
Oh, yeah, that was weird.
And there are this elderly couple behind them.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that the elderly couple seen behind Tom and Lee at the opera sequence are actually very famous and the most prolific dress extras in the business. Franklin Farnham had over 700 appearances in movies and TV, and Bess Flowers, who's literally known as the queen of the extras, had over 1,000 appearances in movies and TV. Not only was she a favorite of many famous directors, she also appeared in remarkable 33 movies of the 1,001 movies you must see before you die, far more than any other actor or actress.
Jeez.
So the fact that these extras have been done are like famous as extras, that directors are like, oh, get those two old people. Those are awesome. That's fantastic.
That's hilarious.
The giant skeleton behind when they in the professor's in the museum where the professor works. That was apparently used in the movie Bringing a Baby, 1938.
Huh.
It's a model that it was. It's not like it's not a real skeleton. It's like it's yeah.
What cracked me up is when he was poring over her drawings of dinosaurs.
Yeah,
and they're all like drawings that the kind that you like.
Yeah,
like the old like science.
Same thing. There's a T-Rex skeleton.
Yeah,
picture it. Yeah,
but I like that the beast from 20,000 Fathoms drawing was definitely a production art.
Yeah, it's totally like an artist rendition.
Yeah. Yeah. The diving bell sequence was cool. I feel like we just saw a diving bell sequence in something else. Okay, so let me talk. This shark versus octopus thing.
Right.
Have you seen that footage before?
No.
I have.
But I was like, they just sicked an octopus on a shark, or a shark on an octopus,
yeah.
And just let them just kill each other.
So I seen that footage in the 1936 Flash Gordon serials.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and even back then, it looked like stock footage. So this footage has been around for a while.
There's a story or something where it's like apparently that you could like it's obviously shot in a tank,
right?
Especially because like there's parts where they say that you can see the octopus like kind of like the suckers grip the glass.
Yeah, in Flash Gordon, he's in the ocean, and he just keeps cutting away to him, being just afraid of these two things fighting.
Something for people to look at.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird that this is like already old footage by this point, and they're using it in the movie. Yeah, it was kind of an interesting, weird. So my next note is. In New York at the docks. And the beast pops up. And from this point on, I think we got like a half hour left. It's nonstop awesome stuff happening.
Yeah.
Like this stuff is where
it gets really good.
This is like some of my favorite stuff that we've watched of Harryhausen's. Like the people, the destruction, the integration with the monster into the live action and stuff. He comes up over the docks behind the crates and stuff and looks over and the people run. But then he comes and he steps down on like a train and the train collapses and it's just like, okay, cool, here we go. And Harryhausen with his like stomping of cars and all of that stuff is great. And then you have the Eugene Laurie panic.
There's a great part where he steps and he kind of like he bends a light post over. He knocks it down. When he's coming through a street, there's like the cop who comes up to him to face him. He's gonna shoot him and he gets picked up by his head and then eaten.
yeah, that it made me laugh because I'm like, what does this cop think he's gonna do? And you could see him kind of think about it for a second.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, that, I mean,
I'm a cop. I got to do my job.
Yeah. And yeah, I like that effect of the stop motion in the foreground and then the live action in the background. He was clearly pulled up by something else, but Harryhausen's able to match the footage. So it looks like he's being eaten. And then, of course, you have the puppet legs sticking out of the mouth.
And the way he eats, he does that eat thing where he lunges his head forward to eat it. Like
a bird.
Like a dog. Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing is there was a couple of times where the beast, like when it comes onto land and stuff, it kind of stumbles. Like it's trying to get its footing.
Oh, I didn't notice.
Like that kind of stuff is awesome. Like his attention to detail. Yeah. The eye blinks.
Yeah. The eye blinks are so good.
What about the blind guy? I like
when he, the what?
The blind guy. You remember the blind guy? It was a guy with a cane. He looked like he was blind. He gets knocked over by somebody and people start falling on top of him.
Right. Man, it's like you look at these people, they don't look very young and there's so many of them that gotta like kind of run. You know, they can't run. They're not running full hard, but they're running. They're like when they're going down the subway station, down the stairs,
Oh, that lady
and then at the
falls.
last minute, the pole breaks the glass through and knocking people over and
Man.
stuff. I was like, that could probably hurt some people, actually. When the beast goes through the building, you know,
Oh.
classic
Yeah.
Megagodzilla fashion, just
Is that
plows through the
when
building. That's when
the
the
group of guys like go around into the
yeah, they all
alley?
kind of hud let's all huddle against this wall here, and it just collapses on
Yeah,
him.
just right on all of them. The cops with the shotguns. Those guys were awesome. They're the big like long jackets and stuff, and they're just all out on the street firing shotguns at the beast, which wouldn't do anything to it, but it was still cool looking.
I like they
Because
call that guy Bazooka Man. Bazooka Man. Fire.
with the gentle taps on the helmet.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is something I hadn't seen before. Like, I'm familiar with this creature. I've seen like this creature in the streets and stuff. You know, a lot of times you'll see this like on a TV in a modern movie,
Yeah.
like some other Warner Brothers property. They're like,
Yeah, like
we want
someone
it to look
watching
like they're
something.
watching something old, so they'll just like grab
Yeah.
this.
Right.
I don't think I've ever seen the roller coaster stuff before.
I don't think so either. Probably because the guys, like the monster's kind of hidden a bit behind the structure of the roller coaster.
Yeah, that whole
I mean, if you're
sequence was a
gonna look, if you're
surprise.
gonna use a clip for this movie, you got to use a lighthouse probably first, or
Right.
the people running in the street as he's plowing through,
Yeah.
working his way through the street. Because he's kind of like when he's at the roller coaster, he's just kind of like, oh, I'm just
Behind
gonna
there.
destroy this roller coaster now.
Yeah.
He's not really. He's got no purpose. He's just.
No.
Wreaks havoc, and that's it.
And eats people.
And it's definitely the sense of like, hey, here's what I got. I got a lighthouse sequence, I got a city street, and I got a wooden roller coaster thing I'm working on. And they're
Yeah.
like, those all sound awesome. Let's just do them.
And they're like, could you throw in a boat? Yeah, sure, it'll be like 10 seconds
Oh,
long.
what about before he gets the lighthouse? Put a boat there. Yeah, no problem.
One of the things we didn't mention is that the bazooka guys draw blood. And there's these big old blobby blood drops
Yeah.
in the city streets. And it makes people sick. It's like irradiated or something. Where like the army men are like, we can't, we my guys are falling down, we can't keep
Oh,
going.
right. They all start
Yeah,
collapsing.
I thought that was
Oh, that was
interesting.
from the blood. Okay.
I assumed it was from the blood, but it reminded me of Giant Behemoth, where he would shoot like the radiation beams off of his body, and we thought it looked kind of silly because it was just like radio signals.
Right.
And this was like kind of cool that it was just like, oh, the blood seems to be affecting stuff.
I don't track them figuring out how to defeat him. It's
It's
just
this isotope thing kind of came out of
the guy
nowhere.
just goes, I know how to beat him. Radioactive isotopes. And luckily he was right. Although I did like the cool sharpshooter guy. And he's
Is
like,
that
so you can hit anything? Yeah, I can hit anything. It's like, do you know
Lee
anything
Van
about
Cleef, or was that somebody
radioactive?
else?
What'd you say?
Was that Lee Van Cleef?
Oh, was that Lee Van Cleef?
I
I knew he was in
think
it.
so.
Oh, perfect, because he's just so
Oh,
cool.
he is cool. And so,
And he's
okay.
like, well, can you load it into a gun? Then I
Yeah.
can hit him with it.
That was awesome. And then they
He
put on
was
those
so
goofy
great and
suits.
so still. Those ghost suits. They dress up as ghosts and get they have to like ride the roller coaster to get to the spot.
Okay, so when I saw, okay, a couple things. Okay, so they want to shoot at the wounds. We know that. And that
Yeah,
reminded
they're
me of
aiming
Black
for the wounds.
Scorpion. Remember in Black Scorpion when they had to shoot the light part under the neck and that guy missed it, the
Yeah.
harpoon. That reminded me of
Right.
that. And then so they go to aim for it. He's like, it's too far. I need to get up closer. And when they run to the roller coaster, I'm like, oh, no way. They're not getting on this roller coaster. And then they did. The roller coaster, there's a sign next to it that says, don't stand up next to
Yeah.
the roller coaster. And I was like, does that mean they don't have seatbelts? And they didn't.
Right.
There's no seatbelts. When they're going up to the roller coaster in their hazmat suits, yeah. I'm like, okay, this is kind of silly, but I also kind of really like this. Because I thought they were going to ride the roller coaster around and try to hit it as they were passing by.
That'd be rad. But that would be rad. Hey, you know what? What if it was because stuntmen had to do it?
Oh, maybe.
And, you know, because, like, to ride the roller coaster or whatever, maybe stuntmen had to do it. And that way they could stay in those outfits and be climbing on, maybe. You know, the roller coaster and all that kind of business. And not. I just thought of that just now.
But I like that they take it. They just take it to the top, and I'm like, okay.
Because as soon as they get off, silly. As soon as they get off, like, the roller coaster's on fire, everywhere is getting destroyed. Oh, by the way, also when they lose the train of the roller coaster, and they're like, oh, and they keep shutting, they keep showing it going, and I was like, is it gonna come back around? And they're gonna get you know, have to avoid it. I was waiting for some, because it seemed like there was building suspense with that roller coaster.
Yeah, I thought it was gonna like run into the beast's wound or something.
Oh, okay,
take it out, like stab it,
something
like Jaws 4.
Just keep poking him in that spot.
But no, it ends up landing on some gas tanks. Some
oil
drums.
What starts the fire, right? Right.
Fire somehow. But that sequence was cool too. That isotope missile was awesome. It looked like a 60s like a rocket. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed all this. And then it starts collapsing. And they're like, he's like pulling the roller coaster down, and the set that they're on is like shaking and stuff, and they're like, oh, okay. And so they climb down.
The reason you think that it's maybe it was stunt guys, because as soon as they get off the roller coaster, they take their heads off. They take off and I'm like, they're still like right next to the fire. It's probably filling everything with smoke. Why would you take it off there? Why wouldn't you wait till you went and cleared it?
Also,
and it's like, because we're actors, we got to show our faces.
Also, if you're a lady that wants to hug one of those guys, don't hug the suit. That's the thing that's covered in radiation or whatever.
Oh, good call.
Yeah, she just goes up and hugs him, and I'm like, yeah.
And you know what I really loved about this movie was the sound the monster made when it got shot.
Oh, the cries?
Yeah, when he first got hit with the bazooka, he is crying.
Yeah.
And then they get him really good with the radioactive isotope missile. Cry so hard. I was like, oh, that's like, that sound like real pain.
Yeah.
It actually made me empathetic for him, you know?
That's the thing what sells this monster too, is the sound effects. I think, this is great. I love this movie. The human stuff would, if it was just a little bit
better.
Yeah.
Just a little more charisma.
Yeah.
From the actors.
Swagger.
A little more chemistry between the man and the woman.
Yeah.
Just a little bit more could have done it.
Yeah. But I really liked it. And I was so impressed with the construction of the monster that I started thinking about our lists of monster designs.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But he kind of reminded me of Varin a little bit.
Yeah.
With the spikes on the back and the...
Yeah.
I like how they said something to the effect of, oh, it's only got like one set of dorsal spines or whatever they said.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, we were wrong. Yeah. That was great.
Yeah. I was like, that little bit of info, it's like, oh, that's funny. Like, I was like, oh, that's cool.
A nice little piece of them. What do you think? Would you if it was exact same monster, essentially, like if the monster looked exactly the same, mm-hmm. like, okay, take the 20 million miles from Earth monster, okay? Uh-huh. If that was a guy in a costume,
okay,
which one would you like better? I mean, it's hard to judge because there doesn't exist.
I mean, the thing is, it's we like when monsters destroy buildings.
Yeah.
And I feel like Harryhausen has way more control over how the buildings look when they get destroyed. Uh-huh. I feel like when you have the guys in the suit, you just hope that it looks cool.
Yeah.
But he's able to, like, this part collapses and then this comes down this way.
Right.
And then you can see the spiral staircase in the lighthouse. If you have a guy in a suit knock down that lighthouse, are you going to get all that little detail? So it's hard to say. I mean, just watching the craft, it's hard because I guess it comes down to how good of a performance is the guy in the suit doing. And a lot of times I feel like they're just flailing around. But with Harryhausen, his characters have like these, you know, movements. And, you know, if this creature was a guy in a suit, would those cries, the screams of pain work as much? It feels, there's something alive about these things. I don't know.
It sounds like you're leaning towards animation.
I think I am.
Oh, interesting.
But I do like the...
I think part of the appeal of the suit for me is, one, the sloppiness.
Well...
And two, the scale.
Yeah.
The fact that they had to make big buildings for a human-sized monster to destroy, that's appealing to me.
I think it's fascinating. As opposed to
making a small, like, that's the size of, like, a Barbie doll or whatever.
Yeah. But I like the fact that, like, Japan did it one way.
I love that, America too. America
did it the other way. And yeah. They never really...
And they were just finding their way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Rarely do we get an American in a suit. I think Gorgo was one of the few, but it's, and then like King Kong 76, but I like them both. It's so, I don't know. I like them both. I feel like watching stop motion, I find myself really looking at it more and seeing how it was done. Whereas the man in the suit stuff, I feel like, oh, it's more popcorn. I'm like not analyzing the art or the craft. It's like, oh, this is just fun. I don't know. It's hard. I like them both. I mean,
yeah, we get both.
Yeah. And that's good. I don't know. I like animation a lot. I think it's just interesting. And I feel like I can't, obviously I can't do stop motion animation the way Harryhausen does, but I feel like I could be a pretty good guy in a suit.
Yeah, because it'd be like the job we've been preparing our whole lives for.
Right. And I feel like we can, like, we know how it goes. When it comes to, like, Harryhausen stuff, I can't do that.
Yeah, I think I just think it takes longer to master what he does versus master suit adding. Of course, if that it came down to it, we could be, when we if you actually had the opportunity to be like, oh, I was totally wrong. The suit acting is much harder than I thought.
Maybe, but probably I mean.
Probably hot. Just
but I think. I feel like with some of the movies we see, some of like the lesser movies, I feel like there's enough poor performances out there.
Yeah. At least I'm better than that guy.
Yeah. I'm not going to get better than Harryhausen or O'Brien, Willis O'Brien, you know, like, so I guess I'm just more in awe of them. Dude, I want to be a suit actor. Let's do it. I need to do some. I think I want to build, let's build kaiju suits. I don't know how. I'm going to cut up my mattress. There's going to be a Ralph shaped hole in my mattress.
Yeah. I remember there was a guy, I remember a long time ago, there was a blog of someone who made himself a Godzilla suit. Just basically, just cutting foam and shaving it and getting it into the shape.
Yeah. Oh, it looks awful. Looks hot and cumbersome. All right. What do you think? Talk about next episode?
Yeah, I think we're good.
Which I don't know. I don't think it's stop motion. And I'm not sure if it's a man in a suit. It might be like a marionette, which is a whole different thing. Because I think it's a giant squid, a giant space squid. I'm not sure. But we are watching Dagora.
Yeah, if you, yeah, if my hunch is it's a marionette type of the situation.
That would be fun. Like, if you were a King Ghidorah head marionette puppeteer, like, it'd be fun to
Oh,
be like in
sure.
charge of like one head, because you're not gonna ruin a
Yeah,
performance doing that.
right. No pressure.
No.
Nah, but you want to be in a suit that gets to knock
Oh,
buildings down.
yeah.
You want to step on stuff.
I don't want to be on a King Ghidorah suit though. I don't think I could deal with my arms being constricted.
Yeah. I was thinking about. It's interesting that they didn't go for a version of the King Ghidorah suit where the arms were the two side heads.
Oh, you'd have your hands up like that though.
Yeah.
Oh. Like Big Bird, keeping your hands up.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Well, I'm looking forward to that. I haven't seen it. I know nothing about it, but it's Ishiro Honda, and I mean, there's gonna be something in there. Puppet people. Yeah, that's the common ground between Harryhausen and suit acting is puppet people, and that's what we can get behind puppet people every
Yeah,
time.
that's why we had to do a Thunderbirds cast at some point.
I mean, there. I heard there's two movies from the 60s.
My gosh.
I've been watching
Oh,
Captain
you're thinking
Scarlet.
as like you've been watching it?
Yeah, Captain Scarlet. Captain Scarlet's fucking awesome, dude.
Is that the one you told me he says, just watch the first episode? Is it that one?
Yeah, it's like 20 minutes, dude. The opening of the show is this dark alley, and this dude is just standing in the shadows. And he gets shot at, and he's just standing there, and then he shoots at the camera. There's blood and dead people and explosions and people exploding. Watch
Whoa.
Captain Scarlet. It's rad. It's like a sci-fi, it's a futuristic like sci-fi action adventure movie or show. Like they go to Mars and there's aliens and spaceships and shootouts and action. It's awesome.
There are so many of
And
those shows that just ran. I didn't know one from another one,
right.
but I remember there are times when I'd wake up at like 5 in the morning and I'd go down and watch TV waiting for my parents to wake up and some channel would run them. And
They
I was
made
like,
it.
I don't know what these like undersea witches are or
Yeah,
what the whole
Stingray.
thing. That's probably what it was, but
They did, I want to say all of those shows. They did it in the span of like 12 years.
amazing.
And
Is there like
Thunderbirds was the biggest hit.
one guy? Is there like the guy who's like the Ray Harryhausen of puppet shows?
It's a husband and wife. I think his name is Jerry Anderson. Him and his wife did it. And so like he was like in charge of sort of like directing and like more of the construction aspect of it, and she was in charge of more of the kind of artistic and like character aspect of it. It was it, there's a documentary I recommend on Amazon Prime, on Prime
Right.
Video, and those puppets are big too. You're talking about scale
Oh,
of
yeah.
like
I want to
stuff,
see.
like they got to be like almost like 2.5, 3 feet tall.
Oh, really?
They're big puppets, yeah.
Holy crap. I didn't know they were that
They're
big.
like, yeah, dude, they're big.
That
Like
means the ships have to be huge.
they would come up to my waist. Well, I mean, they're different scales. Like they have like,
Oh, they have like little versions to ride in the ships?
yeah. Oh, and then they show how they make them
Oh.
go up like
All right,
runways
I got
and
to
roads
watch
and stuff.
that.
Watch the documentary. But if my recommendation is watch the first episode of Captain Scarlet first. It's like
Oh,
22
okay.
minutes because there's
Okay.
stuff in the documentary that
That'll
spoils
spoil.
insane stuff.
Okay. Okay, cool.
I might go actually watch a Captain Scarlet now. Did I already do until next time?
No, we haven't.
Oh, all right. Oh, Dagora. Dagora, that'll be on kaijupod.com, where you also get our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Yeah, and then until next time, I'm just gonna go huddle up in this alley up against this brick wall.
Oh, we did. I'm go. I'm gonna go and I'm gonna go work on that that dinosaur skeleton. Be one of those guys in the back who
Ooh.
just keeps brushing it.
Did the back of that area look like the Batcave from the 60s Batman?
I don't know, it just looked like a like
Yeah.
almost like a studio warehouse.
All right. Cool. All right. I'm seriously, I'm going to go watch Captain Scarlet episode. I
All
think I'm
right.
on episode
All right, I'll
four.
watch the first episode.
Okay, cool. All right.